The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but people who talk about religion can be so confusing. For example, in the religion of Islam, some Muslims claim that their religion is peaceful and they seem very sincere while they say it, but other Muslims openly call for the forceful conquering of the world in the name of Islam. Well, which Muslims are truly reading the Quran? Which Muslims are honestly adhering to the teachings of Muhammad? Well, my friend, if that's all that's confusing you, I can clear matters up right away. The teaching of Muhammad and the teaching of the Quran is that Islam is destined to wage war successfully against all infidels and conquer the world. Now, do all individual Muslims personally believe that? No. No, but their so-called prophet teaches exactly that, and that will be our primary topic on today's show. First, the daily news from your old pal, Bob. In the news today, Trump said something. Also, Trump tweeted something. The mainstream media went ballistic and had a conniption fit. So did the Democrats in Congress. A handful of balanced, moderate, in other words, establishment Republicans, also felt compelled to express their sensitive concern. That's it, kids. Now, if you would like to receive these new updates every week, the subscription is free. In fact, all you need to do is attach this recording to your Facebook page and play it over and over again, because it will be the exact same news report for the next 4 years. And that's the news from your old pal, Bob. It's not that Trump's in the news. Trump is the news. Trump is always the news, even when he shouldn't be the news. For example, it's Oscar time again. In fact, it's going on right now, even as we do this live broadcast. I'm not watching, but I don't need to this year. Very easy to predict. You can plan at the Academy Awards on several new categories, three of which will have one winner. And the winner will be Donald Trump, one of which, in the other words, will go to a movie artist due to the same subject, the same Donald Trump. Yes, our new president will be nominated or mentioned in several categories. The categories will include the following. Number one, best inspiration for Jimmy Kimmel's opening monologue. Number two, best secondary topic for acceptance speeches from Hollywood elitists who want to show us that they are not only artistic, but have well-informed opinions about the news of the day. And three, best secondary topic to award presenters who, not having been nominated, take their moment in the sun and turn it into two moments in the sun. Finally, a special honorary award for valor. After all, in an atmosphere such as Hollywood, It takes special courage to speak up on behalf of politically correct social issues and take a jab at a sitting conservative president. Yes, these courageous souls put a lot on the line. Now, speaking of Hollywood, have you noticed how Hollywood elitists love to talk about gun control? But they can afford to hire personal bodyguards, many of whom, most of whom, carry firearms. And Hollywood elitists love to criticize those who want to protect our borders with tighter security, gates, walls. But how many of them live in large, protected mansions in Beverly Hills surrounded by walls, gates, security systems? In short, Hollywood elitists are very good at making speeches. After all, they are, for the most part, well-trained actors and actresses. Now, if only they could do a better job when they speak without the script of a well-written screenplay. Instead, they tend to activate their mouths before activating their brains. But there is a place where political expression is appropriate, or at least there used to be, and I'm talking about these so-called town hall meetings being held by Republican congressmen in their home districts. Now, while people are always invited in these things to ask questions or share comments within the sensible, civilized protocol of raising hands, nothing even close to that is taking place. Shouting a guest speaker off stage or lashing out verbally before two words come out of the guy's mouth or forbidding him to barely get a word in edgewise is not the idea behind a town hall. In as much as hard evidence that many of these constituents from Republican majority districts, so-called, are actually liberal activists being shipped in and funded by the likes of George Soros and others for the objective of obstruction, not discussion. Well, when you consider that, the situation is even more disgusting. But try explaining that to our main scheme media. That's a new phrase I'm going to coin today. Not the mainstream media, the main scheme media. I thought of that one myself. Once again, the main scheming media is hailing these town halls as democracy in action and the First Amendment right to speak up to politicians. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all check our memories. First, our First Amendment freedom applies to everybody or it applies to nobody. Interrupting someone who is trying to speak is not an embracing of the First Amendment. It is a suppression of the First Amendment. Are we clear? Swinish behavior is not democracy in action. Swinish behavior is not First Amendment freedom. Swinish behavior is just that. Swinish behavior. And while we're on the subject of the First Amendment, this may come as a shock to people who talk about church and state and separation, but in reality, they don't know the difference between our Constitution and the written ingredients on the back of a Three Musketeers candy bar. The First Lady reading a prayer at a rally does not violate our First Amendment. If the day ever comes when a new law is passed saying all American citizens must convert to Christianity, then you can be concerned. Then you can be very concerned. Until then, give it a rest, will you? But there's nothing restful about our Democratic politicians and their unrelenting denial about who really won the election and just how many Americans are getting sick and tired of the so-called progressive activists hijacking our country. Interesting how the Democratic Congress and mainstream media have recently converted. Whereas Obama's accidental comment on Mike a few years ago about how he will be more free to be a friend to Russia only after he gets reelected, whereas that off-the-cup, off-the-mic comment did not concern them any more than Hillary's reset concerned them, and whereas leaks from Hillary's compromised server did not cause any alarm but was instead something the American people were tired of hearing about, now all of a sudden, grave serious concern abounds. Protection of our national security regarding computers and Russians is of vital interest to the safety of the United States. Amazing how when the wrong person is elected, the faith of the progressive gets amazingly transformed. Or Russia just suddenly became something convenient for them. After all, they need Russia, right? Russia makes for a big scandal. If not for those convenient Russians, the Democrats and their twin brother, the main scheme media, would have to use little scandals. Oh, wait, they do that anyway. like when Trump defends his daughter from public criticism. Daughters of politicians used to be off limits. Now defending your daughter is off limits. Aren't these new rules fun? Trump has no right to defend his daughter. It's a conflict of interest. He's a sitting president, and yet he's defending his daughter's business ventures. Folks, the double standard here is tastier than double mint gum. It's not like our former President Obama wasn't in the habit of opening his big mouth from time to time. Obama criticizes the police almost every time there's a shooting during an arrest, long before any facts come in. He never apologizes after the offer is exonerated in court. This doesn't concern the mainstream media. But Trump criticizes Nordstrom for going out of their way to announce that they are discontinuing his daughter's clothing brand. That concerns the mainstream media. Meanwhile, the Stop Donald Trump at All Costs saga continues. So let's say the GOP gets tired of the Democrats' shameless posturing when they're trying to nominate people for the cabinet. And let's say the GOP just chooses the nuclear option and chooses to end the filibuster so that our elected president can actually have a cabinet. Is somebody then going to sue the Senate and claim the Constitution doesn't allow them to make their own rules? Will they find some judge to rule such a thing, just as three judges ruled that the president isn't given latitude to protect the country by our Constitution? And then what next? Will some idiot judge rule that a president can't use Twitter because it's not presidential? Frankly, I'm surprised a judge hasn't outlawed sneezing because it contributes to climate change. Sound far-fetched? It's not. Yes, I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek, as I do. I love sarcasm and satire, but seriously, folks, the guy was in office less than a month when the easily predictable and sadly predictable started to happen. President Trump's executive order on immigration was handed over to the courts and overturned. Let's be clear, in order that we may understand completely just exactly what is now going to happen at every single turn. Pandora's box has been opened. Everything, and I mean everything this president does, every executive order, every law passed with Congress will now be challenged in the courts. Our activist judicial system had already been traveling that direction for a long time. The polarizing presidency of Trump is igniting the lightning rod even more. That means Democrat politicians and other leftists unable to get their agenda approved by actual democracy will just keep turning to the courts. Nothing Trump does will get by legal challenge. I'm talking about the repeal of Obamacare. I'm talking about everything. There needs to be some kind of review on the true role of the courts in our Constitution. Being one of three separate branches of government in order to provide check and balance is one thing. Having one branch with ultimate supreme power over the other two branches is another story altogether and was never the intention of our forefathers.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. If you'd like to weigh in on any of this, you can always reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. I have a lot of comments on Facebook about some of the various things I said regarding Hollywood. This is from Bill. He says, I seem to recall that there were several Hollywood people who said that if Donald Trump were to be elected, they would leave the country. I'm still waiting to hear of anyone who having to leave and give up their million or multi-millions mansions and the parts that they are paid for doing movies. I also wonder how they would have thought of the demonstrations in the streets of America should Hillary have won the election. Oh, well, they would have called that barbaric, Bill. There's no doubt about that. Bill goes on, let's see if any of these actors, actresses will keep their word and actually leave. Don't think it's going to happen, Bill. In fact, I remember Jesse Waters of Fox News went up to Canada showing a picture of Barbara Streisand to everybody. He said, have you seen this lady? I heard she was moving up here. He was doing it as a joke, and yet it was kind of serious. Regarding what I call the swinish behavior, the town hall meetings that resonated with a lot of people, including Nancy, Brendan, Steve, Scott, Wayne, Pam, John, David, Robert, Cynthia, Linda, many, many others like what I had to say. George says, all this hullabaloo about the First Lady and the Lord's Prayer at a campaign rally. He says, not on the floor of Congress in describing a new bill to be signed into law. Meanwhile, in Europe, I guess the point he's making is this was not a law about religion in Congress. This was just something at a rally. So he's kind of saying, get a life, people. I totally agree. He says, meanwhile, in Europe, North Africa, the Middle East, North America, people are being murdered in the tens of thousands, forced into slavery. Women passed around like inflatables, then married off to pus bucket, sick old men, girls of barely 8 years of age being given away to pedophiles for marriage. Wow, this is heavy stuff, but everything he's saying is true. He says, a war has been declared against the United States and all Western culture. The recent ex-president is setting up a shadow government in our nation's capital after having set up thousands in a government he was leaving. Same ex-president that set up an Arab Spring to take down entire countries and install his family friends in the Muslim Brotherhood, changing the very, by the way, Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. And he goes on, George, it does, changing the very nature of intelligence work done by our own government to stop the agenda that over 61 million of us voted for, and cue the crickets. Yeah, I like that phrase, cue the crickets. In other words, you didn't hear anybody say anything back then, at least not the mainstream media. Fran, regarding telling people to just chill out over the whole prayer thing, Fran says to me on Facebook, well stated, brother. Dave says, seriously? People made that charge? Now, Michael on Facebook takes issue, although to be fair to him, he's potentially taking issue. He's challenging whether or not I'm willing to be consistent. He's saying that what I said was okay. So he says, so long as you'd also support her reading a Muslim call to prayer or an excerpt from the Bhagavad Gita, then your position is consistent. Well, Michael, I don't have any problem saying, or a politician saying, that the God I'm praying to is the God of the Bible, because we are a country that was set up on Judeo-Christian principles. We can call ourselves a Christian country without it meaning that we're legally forcing people to become Christians. We can claim to be a Christian country as part of our heritage. It would only be a problem. However, is it okay if a politician who believes in another God prays to another God? Yeah, I'm not wild about that, but constitutionally, I would be consistent enough to give them their right. Now, the Bhagavad Gita and the Quran, both of which I've read, cover to cover, Bhagavad Gita being the Hindu scriptures, that's pretty benign. I don't agree with Hindu religion, but I wouldn't be tremendously concerned if a Hindu was praying, because Hindus aren't out trying to kill people. If there was a Muslim call to prayer, well, let me say this as carefully as I can. That too would be okay if the call to prayer was itself consistent. So, Michael, you're challenging my consistency. I'm saying if that was a consistent prayer. In other words, if the First Lady, hypothetically talking on behalf of the Muslims, was lecturing us about how peaceful the Quran was and denying that there were commands of jihad in the Quran, then that would not be consistent, simply because that would not be true. Now, under our Constitution, one may believe whatever they wish, even if such beliefs misrepresent the Quran. So there's, if there's somebody that says, I'm a Muslim and I look at the Quran differently, okay, they you know, you can do that too. Any version of your religion, any deviation of your religion is allowed in this country. But make no mistake, when people call Islam a peaceful religion, they are misrepresenting the Quran. Now, I'd rather have a peaceful Muslim than a literal Muslim, by the way, but they're not being literal. Our Constitution does guarantee religious freedom, and that includes the freedom to interpret your own religious scripture erroneously. That said, a Muslim who espouses Sharia law, as they are commanded to do, is expressing solidarity with something antithetical to our Constitution. And so once again, but getting back to consistency, one ought not claim religious freedom from a constitution that they do not intend to personally obey. I would say the same to a self-professed communist or Nazi who lobbies for protected speech under the First Amendment, and then in that protected movement pushes to overthrow the First Amendment and the entire Constitution. Therefore, the question we should be asking today and asking immigrants that come over or asking anybody is not, are you a Muslim? That's the wrong question. Because, again, that could mean 10 different things to 10 different Muslims. The question should be, where is your allegiance to our Constitution or to Sharia law? Sharia law meaning technically religious law. Now, I know it's hard to get into the weeds and figure out the difference between speech that merely expresses itself and speech that is motivated to overthrow a country. And yes, we should always err on the side of caution. In other words, allow any speech until or unless there is hard evidence that the person has incendiary intentions. So now that we're here, let's go back to the topic we began at the beginning of the show. True or false? The Quran is a peaceful book, and its author, Muhammad, was a peaceful man. False, but thank you for playing. And yes, I am very aware that the word false underneath a statement about the gentleness of the Quran sets off all kinds of bells and whistles. It collides immediately into a widely accepted talking point, and we'll discuss that talking point when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539. W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, I know we're not supposed to say that Islam is a violent religion. Today, we are expected to go along with the conventional wisdom that Islam is actually a very peaceful religion hijacked by only a handful of nutcase terrorists who are misrepresenting an otherwise benign movement. Undoubtedly, many listeners right now will want to tell me that there are millions upon millions of peaceful Muslims in the world. Indeed, you have personally met some of them. I believe you. I do. Okay? But I have also read the Quran for myself. One who understands the Quran and the teachings of its author, Muhammad, allegedly speaking on behalf of God, also understands the commands to conquer the world in the name of Islam. This conquest is allowed to manifest itself in various stages with a variety of strategies, depending on whether the Muslim population is large or small in its respective country. But the ultimate goal is to completely subjugate the nations of the world, offering people the choice of converting or at least cooperating with Sharia law to some extent. Those who refuse cooperation are to be put to death. This is the destiny of their cause. This is the teaching of their prophet. Now, as a Christian apologist, I have both debated Muslims and shared the gospel with Muslims. That's kind of a balance between argumentation, friendly argumentation, we try, but argumentation and compassion when I'm sharing the gospel. And that mixture has provided me, I think, with a unique, interesting perspective. And for this reason, I commonly receive a lot of questions. And this is one from a listener. Bob, you have written and spoken on the air a great deal about Islam. Do you believe there are peaceful Muslims? Yes, of course there are peaceful Muslims. There are many I have conversed with quite a few. I've had warm talks and exchanges with wonderful, loving Muslims. In fact, I have observed in almost every Muslim I've encountered a deep, sincere hunger and thirst for God. They are often intrigued when Christians talk about a personal, spiritual relationship with our Creator that goes beyond formal worship. In fact, one of today's best-kept secrets, seldom discussed in the media, is that literally millions of Muslims a year convert to Christianity. Now, I don't mean to suggest that only Muslims interested in converting are peaceful. Numerous pilgrims of Islam, satisfied with their faith, view the teachings of the Quran and the Hadiths, additional alleged holy writings, they view those as incentives to become better people, not to raise havoc upon the planet. However, and it's a big however, whereas each and every Muslim practitioner must be evaluated on an individual basis, assessing the religion of Islam itself is quite another matter. Nobody wants to hear this, but the Quran really does call for the forceful spreading of Islam. I invite you right now to take your own honest look at certain Quran passages. I'm reading from Surah 48. Muhammad is God's apostle. Those who follow him are ruthless to unbelievers, but merciful to one another. Well, I'd say those words are fairly clear, wouldn't you? Here, you want some more? Here's one, Surah 8. Remember when your Lord inspired the angels, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who have disbelieved, so strike them over the necks and smite all over their fingers and toes. Here's another one from Surah 9. Prophet, make war on the unbelievers and the hypocrites and deal rigorously with them. Hell shall be their home, an evil fate. They swear by God that they said nothing, yet they uttered the word of unbelief and renounced Islam after embracing it. Also in Surah 9, believers make war on the infidels who dwell around you. Now, infidels are defined in the Quran as people who refuse to convert to the teachings of Muhammad. Now, while the Quran says much about unbelievers in general, it offers additional refined specific commands regarding various people groups who do not embrace Islam, including comments about Jews. This is especially relevant to the discussion of current Middle East conflict between Jews and Muslims. Here's from Surah 5, the most vehement of mankind in hostility are the Jews and the idolaters. This is Surah 2. Unbelievers, particularly Jews, are accursed. Surah 3, Jews are bound for hell. Folks, those words were first spoken in the 600s. They have nothing to do with Israel's so-called illegal occupation of the West Bank in the year 1967. Even worse statements can be found in the Hadiths. This one says, the hour will not be established until you fight against the Jews, and the stone behind which a Jew will be hiding will say, O Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me, so kill him. Now, Islamic text not only speaks disparagingly of Jews, but Christians as well. This is from Surah 5. Believers, take neither the Jews nor the Christians for your friends. They are friends with one another. Whoever of you seeks their friendship will become one of their number. God does not guide the wrongdoers. As you can see, Muslims are told who to befriend, who to shun, and who to fight. They're told very specifically. Speaking of fighting, we hear a lot in the news today about the belief that paradise awaits those who fall while waging jihad. Just in case you were wondering if the Quran truly makes such a promise, don't worry, it does. Surah 47, as for those who are slain in the cause of God, he will not allow their works to perish. He will vouchsafe them and enable their estate. He will admit them to the paradise he has made known to them. And you think of it, Bob, aren't there also verses in the Quran that emphasize peace? Yes, it's true that the Quran talks quite a bit about the importance of peace. So why the paradoxical pleas for both peace and war? The explanation is actually quite simple. Muhammad was originally hoping to spread his new movement peacefully. When this did not happen, when not everyone found the words as soothing and appealing as he had anticipated, when he found that he needed to conquer places like Mecca by force, and that this was the only way he would get individuals to accept Islam, Muhammad suddenly received new revelations from Allah. And by an amazing coincidence, these updated teachings not only condoned force, but commanded it. It should also be noted that the Quran's verses are not collected in chronological order. Instead, they appear according to length, ranging from the longest chapter to the shortest. We'll have more about Islam when we return. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. to the Bob Siegel Show. We're talking about Islam, and I'm showing that there's a difference between what individual Muslims might claim they believe or really believe and what their own scripture, known as the Quran, actually teaches. And one of the questions that comes up is, well, Bob, aren't there all kinds of verses in the Quran about peace? There are a lot of verses about peace, and there are a lot of verses about war. Now, it should be noted that the Quran's verses were not collected in chronological order. That's what I was starting to say before we went to the break. Instead, they appear according to length, and they do range from the longest chapter to the shortest chapter, and that's why they were ordered the way they were. While the commands to wage war are the more recent revelations, this does not mean that they are all found at the end of the book. Chapters about war and peace are intermingled. And so, my friends, when people try to change the subject by ignoring the warlike verses of the Quran, instead bring up the peaceful verses, it should be immediately pointed out that these contradictory teachings exist side by side because Muhammad had tried to spread his religion in contradictory ways. But Bob, today only the terrorists take those words seriously. Not so. My friend, that's just not so. Now, it is true that the terrorists, sadly, are interpreting the Quran accurately, but many Muslims who do not identify themselves as terrorists still abide by their own book, just not with the word terrorism. And that makes sense because, after all, to them, the Quran is sacred scripture. But Bob, a moment ago you acknowledged many peaceful adherents of Islam. So are you now saying there's no such thing as a moderate Muslim? All right, that's a fair question. I will answer your question with carefulness and delicacy. Certainly, there are numerous Muslims who call themselves moderate. Some say it sincerely. Others do not say it sincerely. In either case, people tend to quickly take Muslims at their word instead of examining the Quran for themselves. This is a mistake, in as much as the simplest investigation, if conducted without preconceived bias, would clearly demonstrate that Islam is a religion which does not allow for moderation. Muslims who privately embrace jihad, all the while renouncing it openly, will be discussed later on today. But at the moment, we want to assess those who sincerely describe themselves as moderate despite the straightforward commands of Muhammad. Since moderation is not permitted, such self-professed moderate Muslims are actually nominal Muslims. Now, before you react, the term nominal is not being offered as an insult, merely a description. I can make similar observations about my own faith. I encounter nominal Christians all the time. Well, what does nominal imply? Just as there are people who live in America or Europe who know absolutely nothing about the Bible, other than a few choice sections taken out of context, people who nevertheless call themselves Christians because they were raised with some kind of church background, there are likely many people born into Muslim countries or raised by Muslim families who, for one reason or another, are unfamiliar with their own scriptures. If you asked if they believed in the Quran, they would say yes. If you asked if they believed in spreading their religion forcefully, they would deny it, and they would be telling the truth. There are millions of such people, and yes, we can call them peaceful Muslims. There's also another type of nominal Muslim, one who demonstrates deep familiarity with the Quran, but consciously chooses to reinterpret some of the jihad verses. Now, jihad literally means struggle. While such struggle was used as a description of war in the Quran, modern Muslim spokesmen search desperately for a substitute application. For example, I remember days after the horrible attack of 9/11, I read a newspaper article about a Muslim doctor who explained that for him, jihad meant a war against bacteria. Okay, that's a nice idea. And that's certainly the kind of Quran application most Americans would embrace. While such creativity stretches the plain reading of Islamic teaching in ways unfamiliar with the Muhammad of history, we obviously prefer a peaceful Muslim doctor to a warlike Muslim literalist. In that vein, a different Muslim doctor, much better known, M. Judy Jasser, M.D., he has made quite a name for himself. Also a self-professed moderate, Jasser considers himself a dedicated Muslim, but rather than making excuses for his religion, he condemns militant Islam unequivocally, fully admitting that their religious theology, well, contrary interpretation of a faith he grew up with, is responsible for today's acts of terror. Jasser has bravely and openly confronted Islamic violence. You've probably seen him on TV. I've seen him all over the place. He's given interviews to the Washington Times, Fox News, CNN, the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal. He's been on CBS. Following the brutal 2016 nightclub shooting in Orlando, Jasser delivered a sharp outcry, calling upon other peaceful Muslims to seriously confront the violent ones. Here's one of his statements. At which point are we Muslims going to look in the mirror and declare war on what has declared war on us as Americans? That's really what needs to happen. And in this same interview, Jasser identified the enemy not as extremism or lone wolf, but rather political Islam. He saw this as a global problem. He said it attacks free speech. It attacks free secular countries. And I got to tell you, folks, this guy's putting his life on the line to say these kinds of things. Jasser also challenged his Muslim peers to stop being in denial and instead stand up to what he called Islamo-nationalism. Here's something that he said for the Fox News Insider June 12, 2016. He said, Muslims need to be part of it. We can't get past it without real reforms to get our Sharia Islamic law out of the 13th century in which it stuck. Jasser takes issue with any who would cloak the true intentions of violent Islamists by implicating U.S. or Israeli policy as part of the problem. Instead, he offers what he calls a declaration for Muslim reform. That's a movement which, in his words, puts the Islamists on the defensive and gives birth to a counter-Islamist offensive based on the ideas of religious liberty and universal human rights. This is really a man to be admired. Jasser explained with detail in an article for National Review. He said, we are ready ideological warriors for the nation. The security of the United States, Israel, and the West hangs in the balance. Jasser also said, taking the side of reform-minded Muslims who champion liberty and the Shia Islamism must be the centerpiece of the strategy. American Muslims living in this unparalleled laboratory of freedom have a unique moral obligation to lead the way. For too long, we have allowed the grievance narratives of Islamist groups to dominate, deflect responsibility, and radicalize. As American Muslims, we need to own the problem and address the root causes of Islamist radicalization. Militant Islamists are bred contrarily in a theopolitical culture where their soul, identity, and self-worth are inexorably wedded to Islamo-patriotism, the assertion of the supremacy of the Islamic State. They act for the tribe and reject even the implication that individual rights under God might be possible for all through a secular government. Understanding this consciousness is crucial. Freedom-loving Muslims must fight for an Islam that rejects the Islamists as the real blasphemers and enemy of mankind. That was for National Review, December 2015. I sure admire this man. What a shame that I have to critique him. But I will critique him when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Felduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfelduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Felduti will.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world. The very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
If you're just joining us, welcome. We've been in the midst of a very deep, complex discussion about Islam. You can go to my website tomorrow where this show will be posted and hear it in its entirety. But you can jump in right now without being lost. I was dealing with the question, are there peaceful Muslims? And the answer is yes, there are. But the irony is that they're not being consistent with what their own Quran teaches and what their own prophet Muhammad teaches. And before we went to the break, I was talking about a very courageous man whom I admire. I've seen him a lot on TV. He's a medical doctor, M. Zudi Jasser, and he is bravely challenging fellow Muslims and speaking out against the violence, calling for a reform in the religion. And the man is really to be admired. So as we can see, this physician's unrelenting courage provides a compelling voice in crucial worldwide dialogue. Unfortunately, while challenging the evil which comes in the name of Islam, Jasser continues to defend the religion itself, getting around obvious jihadist verses by saying, every Muslim has the right to interpret their faith. That's one of his quotes. Every Muslim has the right to interpret his faith. Well, naturally, people should be free to believe whatever they want. That's how we started this discussion. Still, if I may be permitted to make the obvious obvious, which is something I do on this show, men like M. Zudi Jasser, MD, are trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. While no fair-minded person would deny Jasser's decency, his attempts to present a more sanitized version of Islam display intellectual dishonesty. One would think that if he is reflective enough to repudiate the violence of Islam and consistent enough to admit that terrorists are indeed finding a religious correlation to their ideology, that he might finally take the plunge and admit the problem is with the Quran itself and perhaps cease calling himself a Muslim altogether. Of course, that's none of my business. Jasser must be permitted to work this out for himself, and we can certainly understand how difficult it would be to completely sever ties with a religion that one has been so personally connected to as part of his upbringing and lifestyle. So we can understand. And while it can be argued that the so-called militants are reading the Quran more literally than Jasser, and that conversely, those who select peaceful options are perhaps the real radical Muslims, radical in the sense that they are the ones radically reinterpreting a clear standard doctrine, we nevertheless admire Jasser's willingness to denounce cold-blooded murder in the name of a faith he personally loves and wants to see reformed. That must be very hurtful for him. So let us be grateful and supportive of all well-intentioned Muslims who reinterpret their own holy book, but not at the expense of naivety. peaceful understandings of the Quran force objective literary criticism to stand on its head. You're thinking, well, but Bob, isn't it possible that the literal jihad verses are being taken out of context? No. No, not in this case. Now, admittedly, human beings are notorious for taking statements out of context. That's true. In fact, the Bible itself is misquoted quite frequently. As a Christian apologist, and you've heard it on this show, I often defend the Bible. I'm certainly sympathetic to the question of context. But sympathy doesn't consign us to a state of limbo or perpetual ignorance as if only Muslims know the context of their own book. The true meaning of the Quran is not an unanswerable question. The means to establishing context does not exist. It's not something that's unattainable. And in fact, it's absolutely very easy to obtain. The correct context to any piece of literature is established by the author himself. What the author originally meant to say and what his readers originally understood him to mean are the accurate interpretations of any writing. Now, no, Muhammad did not write the Quran. He recited it, claiming revelation from Allah through the mouth of the angel Gabriel. In fact, the very word Quran means recital. It was Muhammad's followers who eventually committed his words to writing. After Muhammad passed away, these collected recitations became the literary work that we now know as the Quran. Therefore, the commands to wage war are viewed as commands from on high. If we want to question whether or not Muhammad intended his instructions about waging war to be taken literally, we have only to look at his life. Muhammad not only talked about violence in the name of religion, he himself led and waged war in the name of religion. How do you think he took Mecca? By sending his adversaries a bouquet of flowers? By finding them safe spaces at a university? Muhammad conquered with a sword. Therefore, it is fairly obvious, albeit not politically correct, to understand that such jihad commands were intended by Muhammad to be taken literally and not figuratively. This settles the question of context. But once again, nominal Muslims less familiar with their own Quran will insist that they do not view it that way. They are honestly adhering to a peaceful understanding of their faith. Others like M. Zudi Jasser, familiar with the controversial verses and the authentic history of Muhammad, simply choose to adapt their personal obligation. Says Jasser, nowhere in the Quran does God tell Muslims that they must repeat and thus emulate the Prophet Muhammad's role and actions as a military or governmental leader. Actually, the Quran says something very much to that effect. I'm reading from Surah 33. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have a good example to follow for him who hopes for Allah in the last day and remembers Allah much. Ladies and gentlemen, facts can be stubborn, but despite these facts, explanations and reinterpretations from peace-loving Muslims will always be available for those who want them. In the meantime, any Muslim who takes the Quran seriously and literally, who truly understands the entire message, not only accepts the jihad commands, he or she is also taught that it is okay to lie during a time of war, a passion that Muslim admitted as much to me right on the air, right on this program. He was denying that Muslims were permitted to lie in general, but he went on to explain that during times of war, lies are often necessary inasmuch as anyone waging war will be less than factual with the enemy. At this time, I voiced a rather obvious question. When are you guys not at war? We'll see you next week.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.